The Lord is good. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be with family. Before I share what the Lord has put on my heart tonight, I just want to take a moment to honor the father and the mother of this house, Prophet Gebhard and Pastor Shannon. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on this pulpit. And thank you for coming out tonight. Give yourselves just a hand of praise. It is good to be in the house of God. There's nowhere else that I would rather be. Amen. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? So I want to say welcome to all our online viewers. Thank you so much for watching. Pray that the Lord encounter you right there in your house. This week, the Lord has spoken to me. The Lord has given me a revelation of something in the word and something in my own life that needed to change. And it's been such a great week journeying with the Lord, and I wanted to come and share with you what the Lord shared with me this week. Are you ready to receive? If you can open your Bibles in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse 1 to 6. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can just follow on the screen. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. Are you ready? It says, and you, I just want to see, guys, do you have the New King James there? There we go. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, I love a but God in the Bible. I was going this way, but God, and I turned around and I went this way. My life was a mess, but God, and I turned around and I went into the good way. I was sick, but God, and I turned around and I went into healing. I was poor, but God, I turned around and I went into prosperity. I love but God moments. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, say with me, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where do you sit? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are located on the earth, but you're positioned in heaven. God says he took you from a dead place and he made you alive together with Christ, and you are seated in heavenly places. So where are you positioned right now? In heavenly places. If you are positioned in heavenly places, this scripture made me think of Matthew 6, where Jesus prayed the following prayer, and he said, let your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in. Let it be so on the earth. So if God says he made us alive together with Christ, he took us out of our dead nature, made us alive together with Christ, and he seated us in heavenly places with Christ. Now Jesus prays this prayer and he says, let your will be done. So this is the will of the Father. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be so on the earth. That means that everything that is in heaven, I and you can take a part of, because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your body is located in the earth, but you are positioned from heaven. And how do you access what is in heaven and bring it down to the earth? By faith. Just faith. You believe God for what he said he will do, because you are already seated in heaven. Do you understand that? Are you with me? Is there fear in the kingdom of heaven? Is there fear in the kingdom of heaven? Is it His will for you to be sick? Is there depression in heaven? Is it His will for you to be poor? There was only 5 people that believed that one. Is it His will for you to be poor? If God made abundant life available for us, according to John 10:10, why don't we walk in it? If we are seated and positioned in heavenly places, why don't we walk in it? There are many Christians, maybe it's you this evening. Have you ever wondered why there are Christians that quote the word, "No, by His stripes I'm healed, all my needs are supplied," all of that stuff, but you never see them walk in it. Have you ever wondered why that is? I mean, over the years, there's a lot of people that, well, not a lot, but a couple of people that have come to me and they've asked me the question, said, "Richard, why is it then that when I pray for somebody, either for healing or for breakthrough, it happens? But when I pray for myself, nothing seems to happen." How many of you have felt like this in your life? Okay, there's a couple of honest people in the building. The reason why many people don't walk in abundant life, the reason why many people don't see their answers, or their prayers get answered. This might not be applicable to everybody, but I promise you it's applicable to most of you. The answer is simple. You don't have any grace for yourself. You know you. You know the thoughts that you think. You know what you do behind closed doors. You know the words that you say. You know the movies that you watch. You know the music that you listen to. You know you. And that's why you don't have any grace on yourself. But you have grace on other people because they look innocent. When people come forward in line and we invite people for prayer and they come and stand here, some of you look like you pray in tongues as a hobby. You look like you make no mistakes. So when I pray for someone and I believe God for something for someone, I think they make no mistakes. I measure myself against them. I think, no, this person looks holy. This person looks like they pray 5 hours a day. But when you look at you, all the shortcomings becomes an obstacle for you to freely receive the abundant life that Jesus made available for you. Can I say that again? When you look at you, all the shortcomings, all your shortcomings becomes an obstacle for you to freely receive the abundant life that Jesus made available. We don't know how to embrace grace for ourselves, but we freely give it to so many people. Think about when a friend comes to you and they get curious about Jesus. They say, "Listen, when you invite them to church, say, "Listen, come to church." "No, no, you know, I haven't stopped smoking yet." "No, no, no, no. Jesus, you know, Jesus will forgive you. He will wash you clean." "No, no, I don't feel well. I don't think I'm going to come to church." "You know, by His stripes, you are healed. God will supply in all of your needs according to His riches and glory." We know all the lingo. We have answers for everybody but ourselves. Because we don't embrace grace for ourselves. You are stuck in a cage of guilt and you can't get released from who you used to be. "I was once this way." Doesn't the Bible say, "Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the lost say, I am found." Jesus doesn't want us to see ourselves in this way anymore. He says, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich." Jesus wants us to see ourselves in the grace of God, in heavenly places in Christ. He doesn't want us to see ourselves in this dead place anymore. But we are stuck in a cage of guilt. and we don't know how to embrace His grace. How many of you have been to the Parrots restaurant there in Menland Mall before? Come on, guys, work with me. There's a couple of you. Now, if you haven't been there before, let me explain to you what's going on there. In that restaurant, it's a nice restaurant, there's two big cages. And what is in those cages? There's big, like these beautiful parrots that sits in these cages. But you know, the shocking thing is that those cages are not closed, they're open. But the animal that God made to be the most free of all animals sits in a cage that is open. It has the opportunity to experience freedom, but it stays in the cage. Why? Because it has grown accustomed to its bondage. Jesus has opened the door for you. He wants you to live a free and abundant life. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be full of peace and joy. Don't be stuck in your own bondage. He wants us to experience healing. He wants us to experience newness of life. But you have grown accustomed to the bondage that you are in. This keeps us stuck. Satan loves to keep you in bondage. You know why? Because it affects your faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says that we cannot please God without faith. As long as the devil keeps you in bondage, your faith will lack. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God doesn't want our works. God doesn't want our goodness. He wants our faith. He wants us to believe that He is who He says He is and that He'll do what He says He will do. That's all that He requires. Believe me that I am good. Believe me that all the promises are yes and amen. That's what He requires. But sometimes Satan keeps us in bondage. He keeps us stuck in a place. This week I read 1 Kings 17 and I asked the media teams to put that up for us. And I saw something for the first time that I've never seen before. Yes, it was powerful. So 1 Kings 17, just let me give you a bit of a backstory. It's the prophet Elijah is there and there's a massive famine in the land and there's no food. Everybody's dying. Everybody's dying of hunger. There's no food. And God sends him to this brook called Cherith and he sits there and God supplies and his needs for a little bit. And then God sends him to the widow. He says, listen, go to the widow and she will look after you. She will give you food. And Elijah comes to this widow and he says to her, listen, God sent me here so that you can provide for me. And she struggles a little bit with it, but eventually she says, okay, fine, I'll do it. And she gives her last piece of bread and water to the prophet Elijah. And because of her obedience, God comes through for her in a miraculous way. For the whole famine, all of her food gets multiplied and they never run short of food again. Never. Even her family and the people around her benefit from the breakthrough that God has given her. A massive miracle that this lady receives. But look what happens next. Verse 17, now it happened. After these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And the sickness, let me just turn my page here, was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son? Yes, when I read this, this broke my heart. God just shows His goodness to this woman. He shows His power to this woman. He shows His faithfulness to this woman. And when the first calamity strikes, She questions God's character. But why? Because she feels she's not enough. She feels guilt and shame. She's stuck in that cage of guilt like the parrots in Menlyn. There's a wide open door, but she's stuck there. And now she says, God, why have you done this to me? Have you come to bring to remembrance my sin? How many of us do that? We believe God, we say we believe God for the abundant life, but when something bad happens, where does our mind go to? My shortcomings. I'm not enough. How many of you have gone through a very good season in your life? Everything is just working out. Your relationships are going well. Money is going well. Work is going well. Everything, you're just full of joy and peace. How many of you have been there before? It's just that sweet spot in life where you just feel like, yeah, everything is just running smoothly. But how many of you in that space has had here at the back of your head that small voice that says something bad is going to happen now somewhere? Why? Why can't we live in the abundant life? But it's like this woman. But God, I don't deserve this. I'm full of sin. I don't deserve this goodness in my life because I'm not enough. And the voice of the devil comes to you and he whispers in your ear to say, look at your sin. You come to prayer, in the prayer line for healing. You stand here, you lift your hands, you're full of faith. And you see here out of the corner of your eye, the pastor is coming closer. He's gonna pray for me now. What voice comes to you? No, you didn't pray this week. No, you watched pornography just before you came to church. No, you are divorced. And once the pastor prayed for you, you have already not received what God has wanted to give you. It was his heart's desire to give you healing. You know what the scary thing is about the voice of Satan? It sounds like your own voice. You don't discern that it's him speaking. It sounds like you saying you're not enough. It sounds like you saying, no, you did this or this. God doesn't sound like that. He's a good, good father. Are you guys with me? God wants to give you abundant life. But you have to get out of the cage of guilt and shame. Can I read to you just a couple of scriptures that the Bible says, that God says about you? Can I read it to you? Listen to this. They're not going to put it on the board. Just listen carefully. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. You are loved with an everlasting love. 2 Corinthians 5 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Psalm 103 verse 4. You have redeemed my life from the pit. You crown me with grace and compassion. Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my transgressions from me. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Though my sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Psalm 145 verse 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we were at the dirtiest, filthiest, most sinful place in our life, God looked at us. God looked at you and he said, I love this one. I will save this one. I will take this one. I will cleanse them. I will adopt them into family. In your worst state, the Bible says God took you and he made you a son and a daughter. John 1 verse 12 says the following. It says, he gave us the power to be called children of God. If God did that for you in your worst state, why will he keep the sin and your shortcomings against you now? You have been adopted. You're his children now. His spirit lives in you. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. If he took you in your worst place, why won't he accept you now? The devil is a liar. I'm going to say that again. The devil is a liar. Enough of his blood was spilled to wash you squeaky clean for the rest of your life. Until the day that you die. This morning, I'm not giving you a license to sin and just do whatever you want and you think everything is going to be okay. No. But what I am saying is, you are going to sin. You are going to fall short. But his grace is enough. What does grace mean? Grace means undeserving favor, undeserving blessing, undeserved goodness, undeserved mercy. That's why it's called grace. Do I deserve it out of my own works? No. Do you deserve it out of your own works? No. But will he give it to you anyway? Yes. Will he give you healing? Yes. Will he give you prosperity? Will he give you breakthrough? Will he give you peace? Will he give you joy? Because of grace, not because of what you've done. This woman calls Elijah and she says, listen, my son is dying. And then in verse 24, we see what this woman says to Elijah. She says, now Elijah has prayed for the child and he's come to life. And now she says the following to him. Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. She already received breakthrough. She already received a big miracle. But only now, she says, by this I know that the word of the Lord is true. My question to you tonight is, what is it going to take for you to believe that God wants the abundant life for you? What is it going to take for you to believe that God wants the best for you? What is it going to take for you to believe that God wants to heal you? That God wants to set you free? Maybe you're stuck in sin. Maybe you're stuck in addiction. His grace is enough. His blood is enough. Let go of the guilt of the abortion. Let go of the guilt of the divorce. Let go of the guilt of letting your children down. Let go of the rejection you've experienced. Let go of the guilt of betrayal. Let go of the guilt of hurting people. Let go of the guilt of sinning. Let go of the guilt of disappointing God and parents. Embrace his grace. Say with me, embrace his grace. His blood is enough. His grace is enough. You don't have to sit here and feeling guilty and ashamed. He's taken that away. He's made you alive together with Christ and seated you in heavenly places. Now maybe ask you just to close your eyes for a second. want to pray for people tonight that you feel stuck in guilt and shame, or you feel you're like you're not enough. Mentally, you don't feel well. And maybe you feel like you're sick in your body and you believe in God for a miracle. I want to invite you to come to the front, but just keep your eyes closed for a second. Come to the front and I want you to start believing God for freedom, for the abundant life that He paid for. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the pastors also to pray with me. But before you come, before you step out of your seat, I can ask the worship team just to join me as well, please. I want you to make up your mind with one thing. The Bible says that God has given us the grace. Although grace is undeserving, I want you to make a mind shift. We don't deserve the grace of God in our own power, in our own works, but we deserve the grace of God through what Jesus has done. The Bible says that Jesus made us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So that means we are in right standing with God because of Jesus. So before you step out tonight and you come to the front for prayer, I want you to make up your mind to say, I deserve this. I deserve to be healed. I deserve to be set free. I deserve to be blessed. I deserve breakthrough. Not because of yourself, but because of Jesus. You'll feel the presence of the Lord is coming into the building now. Become aware of Him. Let's take a moment before we get started. Just be aware of the King. We honor You, Lord. We honor Your presence. Fill this house. Remove the guilt and shame from people. Show them that You are madly in love with them. Pour Your love out on them, not from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet right now. May they experience Your wonderful grace. And if you made the decision that you deserve the abundant life, that you deserve healing, that you deserve breakthrough, I want you to come to the front and I'll ask the pastors to pray for you. Let go of guilt and shame. Let go of the old you. That person is not alive anymore. Do not bring to remembrance the old. God has forgotten about that sin. Father, every person that's standing here in front, Lord, I silence the voice of the enemy over their lives that are saying that they are not enough. Today, I align my voice with the voice of God and I say that You are loved and that You are enough. And You deserve the goodness of God. You deserve the forgiveness of God. You deserve the blessing of God. You deserve the healing of God. You deserve the abundant life. You deserve it because Jesus paid for you. Jesus paid the price for you. You deserve it. You deserve His forgiveness. There's no more guilt and shame.
All praise I stand in awe of You. Sing, I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You. Holy God, to
us all to stand as we just join our hearts in worship. Let's just, together with our faith, let's believe God to move this evening.
To the one who endured all the shame of the cross, to the Lamb who was slain as atonement for us, to the Son who overcame all the power of death, we praise. For the stripes, for the wounds, for the beating you bore, for the tears and the blood that was willingly poured, for the merciful, wonderful majesty of your love. Come on, declare to the one who endured all the shame on the cross, to the Lamb who was slain as atonement for us, to the Son who overcame all the power of death. Love. Come on, sing it again. To the one
crown you. We fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, you are worthy, God. You are worthy. Sing, we crown you. We fall face down and we worship. We all cry out, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for freedom. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I thank you that I deserve healing, prosperity, peace, joy, and the abundant life that Jesus paid for. Not because of my own works, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I thank you that I am continually in right standing with you. And I repent, Lord, of listening to the voice of the devil that says I'm not good enough. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I want to thank you so much. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor. You can take your seats. I just want to share one scripture with you before I end. We're going to read Romans chapter number 6, verse 3 to 4. Romans chapter number 6, verse 3 to 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. God wants to give you the newness of life. That's what he paid for. Can I see how many people are getting baptized tonight? May a raise of hand. Awesome. Can you stand with me? Can you stand with me? Yes. Okay, Nate, keep standing. I'm going to read the scripture one more time, but listen to this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, that we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Tonight I talked about the newness of life, the abundant life that Jesus wants to give you. And as you go through the pool of baptism, that old person, that guilty person, that person that's not good enough stays there, and you raise with Christ and you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. I'm going to pray for you in a second. Keep standing. I want to make a call. If you sit here in this building tonight and you have not been baptized before, maybe you didn't sign up, maybe you didn't bring clothes. We've got some baptism clothes. We've got towels. Don't let a wet car seat that will be dry tomorrow stop you from something that will affect your life for eternity. If you feel, you sit here and you feel like, I want the newness of life. I want to let my old man die. Go there to, Pastor Serena, can I send them to you? Or to the Connect Corner? To Pastor Serena, she's standing there right by the door. Go to her right now as we close the service and say, I want to be baptized. And make the decision now. Don't wait for another day. Make the decision now to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Are you ready to get baptized? Let's pray for you. Father, every person that is standing, Lord, that is getting baptized, Lord, and those that are making the decision right now, I bless them today. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you give them newness of life. I thank you that the old guilty person stays in the pool of baptism as they are raised, Lord, with Christ into the newness of life. In Jesus' mighty name. And if you agree with that prayer, say with me, amen. Amen. Church, I'm going to end with this and I'm going to give over to Pastor Stefan. Never let the voice of guilt and condemnation take you captive again. Never feel like I'm not good enough to come to church. I'm too full of sin. never feel like they can't pray for me for breakthrough or healing because I have sinned. That is the voice of Satan. God's grace is enough. Say with me, I embrace the grace.